Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. What we have in our gospel today is a good lesson for ourselves. We see this great saint of God, John the Baptist, making a bold confession of Christ. And his confession serves as a pattern for our confession of Christ. Let's take a look at it. It says in our text, "And this is the record or the testimony of John, when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, 'Who art thou?' And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, 'I am not the Christ.'" Now, there's several things to pay attention to here. First of all, the Jews sent priests and Levites to ask him, "Who art thou?" Now, this wasn't a friendly powwow. These were the grumpy men in power. And they sent their delegation to intimidate John. It wasn't just, "Hey, what are you saying about yourself, buddy?" They were sent to intimidate this guy because they couldn't control him, and they were making the effort to shut him up, to shut him down, and to exercise their authority over him. So it's in the face of that that he makes this testimony about Christ. Now, John words it very interestingly in our gospel. He says, he confessed, he denied not, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." What in the world does that mean? Why so wordy? Because the author, St. John the Apostle, he doesn't want to create the impression that John was, that he was intimidated or frightened by these men from Jerusalem, and so he kind of toned it down and denied that he was the Christ. You know, in other words, John was not speaking the words from a status of being intimidated. He was not pulling his punches. He was not shooting blanks, as it were. So he confessed. He did not deny, but he confessed, "I am not the Christ." All right, now, what does this say to us? We are living in this world, and we are called upon by Jesus to confess him. The first thing that we need to remember is that the Holy Ghost, who has been given to us in baptism and who is renewed in us constantly through the Word and sacraments, the Holy Ghost glorifies Jesus Christ. He does not glorify us. He glorifies Christ. And therefore, like John the Baptist, our true Christian confession must always point away from ourselves and point clearly to Jesus Christ. My testimony is not about me and my experience. It's not about me and my good works. My testimony is about Jesus and all that he is. Only Jesus is the Savior, and only faith receives the grace of God in and through him. And so the first thing that we must always understand, like John understood it, it's not about me. It's about Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. He confessed. He denied not, but confessed, I am not the Christ. And so it is. You and I confess. We are not Jesus. But Jesus has come for us and to us. And in Him, we are complete, saved to the uttermost. All right. Second thing that we learn in our text. So he said, I am not the Christ. So, okay, you're not the Christ. And they asked him, what then? Art thou Elias? And he saith, I am not. Art thou that prophet? And he answered, no. What's going on here? All right. The Pharisees, they are trying to marshal all of the opinions of men that were floating around Palestine in the days of our Lord. All right? Everybody had an opinion about who John the Baptist was. And everybody had an opinion about who Jesus was. And most of these opinions were not worth the effort that it took to form them. Just like today. Everybody's got an opinion, but almost nobody's opinion is of any real value. Oh, well, you're telling me that my opinions aren't holy? Listen, we've got the Word of God. The Word of God, true, sure, and complete. That's our concern. Not whether our opinions are so sanctified, but whether we have God's Word. And that's the lesson that we learn here. True Christian confession brushes aside all manner of speculation, all opinion, and it remains with the Word of God. That's what John was doing here. Are you Elijah? Now, it's not that John wasn't Elijah, but he wasn't the Elijah of popular opinion. The Elijah of popular opinion was a guy who was going to show up at the Passover one day, so you had to keep an extra seat at your Passover Seder in case Elijah shows up. All right? That, you know, he's kind of, in Jewish lore, Elijah is kind of like a Paul Bunyan character or a Johnny Appleseed character. You know, a lot of legend grew up around him. And so John is not denying that he is the Elijah spoken of in Malachi the prophet. But he's denying all of that apocryphal nonsense. All of that common speculation. He's dismissing it. Art thou Elias? I'm not. Art thou that prophet? From Deuteronomy chapter 18. I will raise up a prophet, and him ye shall hearken to. Oh boy, were there opinions about that guy. Who on earth is the prophet? What will he be like? What will he act like? What will he say? What will he do? All kinds of apocryphal speculations. Are you that guy? And he said, no. No. And so it is that as you and I live as Christians in this world, and as we are called upon, which we most certainly are, to confess the Christian faith, we must distinguish between speculation and opinion on the one hand, and what the Word of God clearly teaches. And we brush aside all speculation, and we confess with the Word of God. When we approach the Scriptures with our own preconceived ideas, we always err. But But when we seek Christ in the Scriptures, we are always safe. One of the rabbis in the Talmud of the Jews said that the ancient prophets of old, all they ever spoke about was the Messiah. And that's a very Christological understanding of the Old Testament. What is the Old Testament about? Is it about the history of the people of Israel? Well, yeah, but that's not what it's about. What's the Old Testament about? It's about Christ. All right? It's about the coming of Christ. And therefore, when you read the Old Testament, you read it as a Christ book. And when you read it as a Christ book, you cannot go wrong. You cannot err. All right. Third thing. They said, "Who art thou that we may give an answer to them that sent us?" You know, we got a job to do here, Johnny boy. We've been sent here to get some answers. You got to speak up for yourself and stop evading the issue. All we hear from you is no, 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 no. And John didn't say, well, that's because all your questions are stupid. All right? But he says, who are you? We have to give answers to the people who sent us. What do you say about yourself? Well, finally, a decent question. Finally, a decent question. And what does John do? He quotes Isaiah 40. He quotes Isaiah 40. "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as said the prophet Isaiah." I am that guy, the one that Isaiah was talking about, the Lord's forerunner. After me comes the Messiah. You see what John is doing? He is saying, I am the fulfillment of the promise to send the Savior into the world, and I am the forerunner whom God has chosen to prepare you and get you ready to receive the Lord. How are we ready to receive the Lord? Two things. First of all, we are to experience sorrow over sin. All right? If you do not have sorrow over sin, that is, if you do not repent and acknowledge that you have sinned, if you do not feel sorrow in your heart and earnestly desire forgiveness and the gift of the Holy Spirit to lead you away from sin, then you have no faith whatsoever. All right? First comes contrition, sorrow over sin, despair of oneself, and acknowledgement of sinfulness. And then, trust in Christ who comes with salvation. It's not enough just to feel bad about your sins. This you must do, and you should do. And if you don't, there's something wrong with you. But then, you see, repentance always leads us to God, where we find the banner of trust. Christ has come for sinners. He has not come for those who claim that they are righteous, who claim they need no Savior. But He has come for sinners to receive them, to forgive them, to wash them, and to give them everlasting life. But let them depart from their sins. All right, so true Christian confession calls forth repentance, both contrition and faith. And then lastly today, we have It says, they that were sent were of the Pharisees, and they asked him and said unto him, why baptizest thou then, if thou be not that Christ, nor Elijah, neither that prophet? All right, so, and this is a typical question of people who have an authoritarian complex. They always want to ask people, where do you get the authority to blah, blah, blah? Right? Because they think that they should have all authority. So they're fixated on this, who authorized you? Now, there's a right way and a wrong way to do that. All right? For example, this congregation, the priesthood of believers, gathering together prayerfully, they exercise the power of the keys of the kingdom when they called me to be the pastor. And so I am a called pastor in the church of God, because Jesus, through you, has authorized me to stand here and publicly proclaim the Word of God and administer the sacraments on your behalf. You see that? And so there's a right way to establish and to ask about authority. Who has the authority? Who has the right to forgive sins? Who has the right to baptize? Who has the right to preach? Right? All of those questions can be asked in the right way and, of course, in the wrong way. These guys had an authority fixation. They thought that nobody should have authority except that it was delegated to them from them. Right? So they have, and so what are you doing baptizing here? I mean, that seems like an official act. Who gave you the permission to do this act? And John says, I baptize with water, but, and here's the punchline, there stands one among you whom you know not. He it is who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoes latchet I am not worthy to unloose. John dismisses their question. And he says, I am only the guy getting you ready for somebody who's already here, but you don't recognize him. It's time to open up your eyes. He's already present. Christ came in lowliness. Listen, the angels announced to the shepherds that Christ had been born. They found the baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, laying in a manger. 40 days later in the temple, Simeon and Anna, two great aged saints of God, they proclaimed this baby to be the Messiah, the salvation of Israel. But you know, most people couldn't have cared less. Just another baby in a time when babies were popping up like crazy. All right? Another baby. And then these wise men show up, and everybody in Jerusalem is all upset. What in the world is this? How can God send his Messiah and then tell them, stinky Gentiles, tell them about it and not tell us? They must be crazy. You see? Christ came in all lowliness and humility. And he was not recognized but by a few people here and there. Read the Gospel of Luke. Read the Gospel of Matthew. See how Jesus came. He was God in flesh made manifest. And yet, just looked like another kid. Even when he was 12 years old in the temple. The rabbis were impressed with his understanding and his answers, but, you know, a precocious kid, but another kid. There's millions of kids. Jesus came in lowliness and was not recognized. So it is. The gospel of Christ is proclaimed, but it is despised as foolish, it is despised as weak, and it is despised as not worthy of attention. And yet, dotted all throughout the fruited plain, there are people preaching the Word of God through to half-empty churches of people yawning because they've heard it all before. The gospel, the one message on this earth that takes you right through the gauzy film of death into the very presence of Christ in paradise, the gospel is dismissed, yawned at, and considered to be foolish and not worthy of a smart person's time. Yet, therein, in the present Christ who is not recognized, and in the present gospel which is not appreciated, therein alone is revealed the mighty Savior who, coming after John, is preferred above John so that John is not worthy to untie his shoes. This Jesus is our Savior. He is our only Savior, and He will save to the uttermost. Let us therefore cling to Him and not be deterred by the opinions of men and the faithlessness of others. Let us be faith-filled. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.